Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing to be loved. Follow you to the moon and the star above. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. It doesn't get any better than that. All right. Now, I'm just going to give a little quiz. Who was that on our opening bumper tune? For a free trip to... Nah, I wouldn't do that. That's too easy. Nah, I wouldn't do it. Maybe next time. Welcome to another edition of Productive, almost caught it. That's right. We're Productive News. Productive News Weekly, folks. And I just want to thank everybody for taking the time out this evening to tune in. My name is Darryl Clark, and I will be your host, as normally is the case, on these Thursday evenings, although for the most part, for my regular listeners, you know, we've been doing pretty much replays as we regroup and reorganize and, well, revamp the program to come back even bigger and brighter and always keeping it live. And so, speaking of keeping it live, it's been a while since we've done an actual live and not just a podcast replay of some of our outstanding previous programs. So with that said, this evening we do have a jam-packed program for you, and I'm just plumb pleasingly tickled, pleased with this evening's program lineup. We're going to start out. So first of all, I need to warn everyone, put on your seatbelts, buckle up, and hold on, because it's going to be, again, an enlightening and inspiring, encouraging, empowering program. And hopefully it'll instill you to get involved and make a difference in your and your loved ones' lives for the better, for good, for production. For those of you on the mail list, you know who I'm referring to. And if you're not, send me an email. You can send it to productivenews@outlook.com, or you can send it to my email direct. That's cool, too. It's daryl_cla18@msn.com. So drop me a line, and I'll add you to the mail list, and you'll be privy who's going to be coming up in the upcoming week, for example. Next week, and that'll be more important now than ever as we begin to phase into our live programming again. So, this evening, we open up with Cosmic Beauty, and, well, a.k.a. Norma Clark. She has been on our program. She's truly a friend of Productive News Weekly over the years. She's blessed us over the airwaves with her live and candid, inspirational comments. She was part of a panel of musicians numerous times. We did a series on music and the evolution of music. We had Ice of Ray Goodman and Brown and numerous other musicians that were part of that panel, Lyle Omobola, a productive rap artist, was part of that panel, and numerous other jazz saxophonists and numerous others were part of that panel. So you can go back to the archives and catch that, and all our archives go back several years, and you can just go to the archives at Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. If you go there, you'll just scroll until you see Daryl Clark's Progressive or Productive, either or. We've transitioned from Progressive to Productive, and that's another story. We'll get into it sometime. And then all my programs going back 2 or 3 years, you can hear Dr. Joy DeGruy, you can hear Dr. Eddie Taylor, many other, Miss Norma, Cosmic Beauty, Clark, and many others, Ron, I just can't name how many, Dick Gregory, all of his programs that he's been on with us. So that's all in the archives. And this program will be in the archives after tomorrow. So it's like a good movie. You go back and you listen and you pick up something you didn't pick up at first. So enough of this little brief monologue. Let's get right to Cosmic Beauty, Miss Norma Clark. Just a little bit about Norma for those of you who are new to Productive News Weekly. Welcome, and hopefully you'll tune in on Thursday evenings sometimes we do start at 7 because we do keep it live, and we do try to often get started around 6:45. No shame in our game here, because it is live. So Cosmic Beauty, affectionately known, Miss Norma Clark, has been a true student of the art and science of music and writing for over 4 decades. She's a songwriter, a musician, a jazz vocalist, an author, spoken word artist. She's trained in classical music, and, well, she's been appreciated from around the country, and I would dare say even the world. I'll go so far as to say She's well-traveled, and I'll just give you a little bit of an example of, you know, some of those that she's blessed to be on stage with. For example, she, as I mentioned, began as a classical student, singer of music, and then she transitioned to jazz. And in that transitioning into jazz, she has worked with many greats. Eddie Bacchus, who is a mentor of hers for many years, with Roland Kirk, for those of you who understand that genre of music. So I can go on and on, but I want to get right to the interview, because following Ms. Norma Clark, who will be joining us, this is an impromptu interview, and I really want to thank her. I know she's in the studio listening for being so impromptu in joining me this evening. But when I read her and started to read her book, I said, I've got to have you on. Cause, and no coincidence, in case you noticed the last name, yes, there is an affiliation there. That's my dear and near cousin. So talented. But when I got my hands on the book, we're going to talk more about that. I said, you know, Cosmic, we got to get this. We got to make this happen. So she'll be joining us in the weeks ahead. I'm going to put her on the spot like I like to do from time to time, and have her join us for a really full interview. So this will be a brief interview, just enough to wet your whistle. That's a song. Remember that? Wet my whistle. Anyway, Norma Cosmic Beauty is in studio. Is she here? Let me see if my engineer's got her. Yes, she's here. So without further ado, Cosmic Beauty, I believe we had her in studio. I don't see her. Let me get to my engineer here to make sure we have her. As I said, we have no shame in our game. We just keep it live here. So let's make sure that we have her in studio, because I don't see Cecil telling me that she's live with us. So that line may have dropped. Let's see. So anyway, as I'm waiting for him to bring us in line back with Cosmic Beauty, this will be a brief interview, and then we're going to go right into our interview with Dr. Glenn Mendoza, who was scheduled for the last week or so. And, of course, he's a pranic healer and an author. He's an MD, his doctor, and he's an astrology and meditation expert. So he has so much to share with us this evening, and you really want to stay and catch what he has to share with us about health and natural health and the things that we can do, especially during these times, to be healthy mentally, physically, and spiritually. So I believe we have Cosmic Beauty back in. Studio engineer says she's back with us. Cosmic, are you there? Hello, I see the line is open. Cosmic Beauty, are you on the line? Okay. All right, we'll get her in. We don't give up. Let's put it that way. Let's see if I can. Cosmic Beauty, are you on the line? There you are. There you are.
Somebody came to my door.
I was just saying we keep it live here, and it's okay.
Yeah,
with no shame in our game on live radio. Hey, listen, at least it's not fake news.
No, it's not fake at all.
We won't get into that. Hey, listeners, my new listeners especially, that's a whole other topic that we dive deep into from time to time. But tonight, this is about the real deal tonight.
So what were you talking to me about behind my back?
Folks, you're going to have to deal with my cousin and I. You're going to have to deal with my cousin and I. This is going to be one of the livest shows. Okay, be nice, Cos. Be nice, Cosmic. Because, you know, we have lots of listeners that tuned in just to hear you and what you have to say. I gave a little background, and I think you were listening. I talked a little bit about, you know, some of your background, and I didn't embellish it at all. I kept it real, and I know you heard it, and I think you'd agree. I was accurate. And it's probably another half an hour that you can elaborate on. But I just touched upon the high points, Cosmic, you know, about, you know, how you transitioned into jazz from the classical piece. And what I like to do, and I promised the listeners that I was going to do this, so you should be used to it after all the programs you've been on. I'm going to put you on the spot. I really want you to come back so we can do a little bit of deep dive into the bio, because you have a rich history, because I know from knowing you over the many years personally, and I think it's something that the listeners would really get a treat.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
Radio.
For delivery options, press 4.
Watch this.
To cancel message, press
watch
star.
This.
To
watch
send this.
Bam. I had you on two different lines. I had you on two different lines. My studio engineer is saying in that other line, because we were trying to catch you twice. So I had you on another line I was trying to reach you on. But what I was saying is I'd like for you to come back, say, in maybe 2 or 3 weeks, be a nice Christmas treat or holiday treat for those who want to be correct politically, which I don't do politics, but for those out there that are into that. So would you be willing to come back?
For real, for real. This
would you be willing to come back?
Am I here on the line?
What'd you say?
For real. This is for real, for real. Am I on the line here?
Oh, you are on the, you are live. You are absolutely live. And
Mookie,
I will,
they thought you're on the line like Spike Lee. Like
I will Spike tell Lee. You. I will tell you, you are not only live, but there's a number of listeners that are live.
Everybody, hello, everybody.
So Cosmic, let's boil it down to some hardcore facts. Okay, real quick, just a high level. I don't want to dive deep on the background, and we're going to do that in a future show. I'm just going to say you're going to do it. You're coming back next month, and I want to dive more into how you evolved into where you are now as more of a writer, of course, you know, songwriter, spoken word artist, and now the book has dropped heavy, and I love it, Hidden Treasures by Norma Clark, just beautiful, and I'm going to encourage everyone to go on to Amazon and get this piece of work here. But so real quick, generally speaking, you went from classical to jazz. So I'm just going to ask you, how did you go from that into a jazz piece? And then I want to get right into the book, because we only have about 10 more minutes on our interview. Again, this was a short interview. So let's get right into it, because I want to dive into this book a little bit. Tell me a little bit about how that happened. How did you transition from that?
I was doing classical Hazel Zahner. That was my classical teacher, and I sang classical at Tri-C.
Now, what's Tri-C? Because we have people from around the country.
Let me tell you, Cuyahoga Community College Metro Campus. That would be Cleveland, Ohio, downtown, at about 30th and Carnegie Avenue. And I worked with Hazel Zahner. She was my teacher, instructor. And I would do commencement ceremonies, sing for the people that were graduating. And it was so funny. I had to sing My Country, Tears of Thee.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
And, yes, for the people that were graduating. And it's so funny, because I asked if I could sing Lift Every Voice and Sing. So, you know, this has got to be a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked if I could sing Lift Every Voice and Sing. They did not pay you, but they gave you what they call was a stipend, and that equaled to about $100 for me. And when they say that somebody has done something for free, they get what is called a stipend. Nobody does anything for free, okay? Mm-hmm. And the stipend is that they throw them up a few $100 or whatever. So when I asked if I could do Lift Every Voice and Sing, that wound up being my last time doing the commencement ceremony. They were not ready for that type of music back then. I'm 68.
So that was,
that
was kind of a start for you. At that point, you realized that you had a gift, basically.
Yes, I had a gift. Not only a gift, but it was also something new for that time of in the world. And they were not ready for the black commencements. They use the singing at the black commencements now. They weren't ready for that. Lift every voice and sing. No, they weren't ready for that. So I got my stipend for singing God Bless America, and that was the last of it. So at that point, and that's when I started, I'd always played harmonica. I learned it about 14 or 15. I liked the guy. And he handed me a harmonica and says, I guess you can't play it. And I played it so hard for him, my cousin Dale, and he didn't care about me. And I learned how to play that harmonica. That guy was gone about his business. And I learned how to play that harmonica. He was gone, and he left me, didn't care anything about me. But it wound up years later being something that I depended on. I go to the jam sessions at Cleveland, during Cleveland, Ohio, Razel's on 83rd Street and Cedar. Every Sunday after I come back, I went to California for a while. And when I came back, I came there and sang at Razel's and played the harmonica. I was picked up then by Joe DeJohnette and Eddie Backus. All the saxophone players who had been coming down there playing every Sunday for free really disliked me because I learned this one blues song by Billie Holiday. I can't think of what the song, but it was a song by Billie Holiday, and I learned to sing it with the harmonica. Those guys hated me because Joe DeJohnette me right up, and I never spent a day not playing since then. He wanted me to learn a few other blues songs with the harmonica by Billie Holiday, and that's when I started right in with my blues harmonica playing. The guy that I fell so much in love with back then, he was gone, never saw him again, but this wound up me playing the blues.
Well, he played the role he had to play in your life. And I think that's what we all need to understand. Sometimes people come into your life for a short time for a big moment. And it sounds like that's what that was.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, isn't that?
And I was so much in love with him. I think I was in my early 20s. I was so much in love with him. I never looked back for him anymore, but at that time I had got to be my 20s. By that time I wasn't thinking about him, but I learned how to play the blues harmonica to beat the band.
Let me ask you a question. Before we dive a little bit into the book, because I really want you to share some of the spoken word that you've got. But that sounds like a salient moment. I mean, something that was a turning point in your career at a very early age. Who would you say were some of your biggest influencers? I mean, I know typically the parents, we always talk about that, and I have a total respect for that, and I'm going to put that out there because I know your parents. I knew them. I still know them in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that'd probably be the first thing off your lips, but I'm going to let you say that. So your biggest proponents and influencers along the way? You want to name just a few folks?
Well, we can just say it off the bat. One, I have one uncle who was perfect pitch. He was born perfect pitch, with perfect pitch. And that means that he could, it's a person that knows whatever note that you're singing and will be perfect. You can hear it perfectly. Most people have what they call relative pitch. Relative pitch is that you're in the key of C and you learn what the note E is about in relative to the note C. But he was a person that you could play all over the place, and he knew what key it was. And I remember I was trying to play piano, so I went to Tri C's jazz class. My Uncle John Greer, he came to that class. He sat in and listened to the whole band playing, and here I was trying to play the keyboard, and I was ashamed at first. And he stopped and he said to the director, "There's something wrong here." And I was so ashamed. "There's something wrong here." And he says, he named the guy. He said, "This guy here, fourth from the back on the playing in F sharp, and it's supposed to be F." And the musical director looked at him. He said, "Let him play it again." He played it again, and darn it, my uncle was correct. And he won the hearts of everybody there in my school because he was correct. And that's when we found out he had perfect pitch. He could hear a note and tell you exactly what it was. And that has made a very big influence on me.
How did you evolve into the writing? I mean, songwriting, spoken word writing.
I always did write. This was a part of me that, well, you know, we were with B. Lloyd, and B. Lloyd wrote for Earth, Wind, and Fire. I Know We Can Get Away. He won an award. They won an award for I Know We Can Get Away. And me, my brother, and him, we all played and sang around together. My brother played drums. Kungas, and this was our first influence. You know, that was our first influence, and especially with Earth, Wind, and Fire being the, they're around our age, and then they were in, what is it, darling? Okay. I got company here that doesn't really realize what's going on. But anyway, yes, Earth, Wind, and Fire, some people do not know of them, but this was like listening to the Beatles.
One or two people that don't, I mean, in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get that.
Yeah, but it's like
for
listening
the most
to
part.
The Beatles. So I began to write. He and I wrote together. And I just began writing. When I got older and I went to Chicago, I would, on my break time, I heard some people say, "We're getting ready to get married. I want somebody to write something for us." And just out the blue, this came to me also out the blue. I said, "I can write something." I wrote something. They said, "Oh, thank you." They didn't give me anything. They said, "Oh, thank you." I gave them the paper that I'd written on. The next thing I know, I had got a phone call and someone asked if I could write something for them. They would pay me $50. And from then on, I began to write. I'd sing, and when I got done singing, I was going around selling my pieces. And after that, it became a part of what I did. And I had poor health, so I was going through a pretty bad health period, and I spent a lot of time writing. At that time, they were calling it poetry. And as I got older, they started calling it written word. And then after a while, that became a whole bunch of years of professional singing in Chicago, 5 years in New York, starting off with Eddie Bax and Joji Jeanette. It evolved into me just writing.
Well, I know you've been writing for many years.
Many years.
And this book was truly a hidden treasure.
Yes, it was a culmination, and people think that maybe it came from the Pirates of the Caribbean, but came from Charles Barton. And this goes way back in the 30s.
You know, it's, the foreword, you know how the books have a foreword.
I would like to share that with you. I'd like to share that with you. And if I may.
Yeah,
and
of course.
This is it. It says, "Dynamic and Stimulating, Hidden Treasures is a Stroke of Genius by Norma Clark, exposing our most difficult to explain ideas, thoughts, and life experiences, seemingly effortlessly, and highly expressive, delivered. It is phenomenal. Norma captures the reader's interest as they anticipate each page that follows. Applauded by Vernon Clark, award-winning features story. Applauded by Vernon Clark. Award-winning feature story writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's especially interesting that he is Norma's brother, yet kept to literary standards is profound. While accepting Hidden Treasures as a creative writing endeavor, his opinion is highly valued and honest. Respected literary critic, the late father Dan Began likened Norma's Hidden Treasures as a style reminding him of Salvador Dali. He commented that her style of writing is like the brush strokes of the famous Dali did. Norma's writing added a completely new dimension to ordinary thoughts and living experiences. Yes, Dynamic and Stimulating. Give Hidden Treasures a read. You will find it nearly impossible to put down. Once it is put down, it will definitely persuade the reader to recommend that it be read and enjoyed by all, especially serious readers, readers seeking a different reading experience. This is the Zach of Hidden Treasures.
Tell me about Father before we go into the Hidden Treasures. Tell me about Father Dan.
For what? Father Dan was a priest, and they called him the hippie priest. He had a place, he was the father at St. Cecilia's Church that was off Kinsman Avenue. In Cleveland, Ohio, over 10 years ago. And he was well known throughout the entire city and beyond.
Yeah.
Because he looked at the younger people and thought that the younger people needed a little more relaxed Catholicism, a little bit more relaxed and not so strict and strict on them. And this made a lot of people, this drew a lot of people to the Catholic Church. So very fond of him. And I gave him part of my writings. And when I did, I was so happy about the way that he responded to that.
Well, as you said, is an icon in Cleveland area, you know, where I grew up. And, of course, I'm very familiar with St. Cecilia's, and, you know, myself visited there. And just obviously he had an ability to introspect, and just his wording, his description is like I wouldn't have thought of, but it makes so much sense. Knowing you over the years and your style of writing, and all I can say is the listener, you really want to get your hands on this book. It's not a novel read. It's not an expensive read, but it's something that you want on your shelf to just balance. And I'm not trying to sell the book. I'm just telling folks something that would be good for them, for their household. Let's jump into it because we only have a few more minutes, and I already got you scheduled for next month, Miss Cosmic Beauty. So we're going to do a full interview at that time. So I know we jumped around a lot, listeners, but you know, tune in and get on the mail list. And if you're not, you know, tune in on Thursdays, and we'll make sure that when we bring it the next time, we're going to bring it hard in the paint, as the saying goes, as a basketball analogy goes. Now, you open up the book.
I would like to make one other point.
Oh, please.
I would like to make another point. Father Gary Chamora of Our Lady of Peace, he's another flexible priest. He and I have to say it, he put the entire back page that I read to you on the back of his bulletin. And I'm saying that to say it's got enough spiritual intent in it, realness, for real people. And this is what makes it so beautiful. You know, I've always been spiritual, but I've also grown up in the streets. And Father Gary Chamora recognized that and accepts a lot of people who do not have anything, do not have everything, and they live and do the things that they have to do sometimes, which they don't want to do. I'd like to thank Father Gary Chamora for that. And I'd like to thank you, Daryl, for having me a part of your show, Progressive Realty or Productive Realty. I'd like to thank you for applauding me as part of your show again.
I love you too. It's our honor. And now we're going to give a treat to the listeners. I mean, 50-plus writings here.
Yes, and one was sold in the United Republic.
I know. Yes. Let's start, though. I have one I want to start with, and it's the first
one. Go ahead,
one,
darling.
Because as I talk about you affectionately to, you know, friends and family, and I say, you know, Cosmic Beauty, for example, is going to be on the program, or if I'm sitting in social circles and we're talking about music or writing, I say, I have a cousin, Cosmic Beauty. I'm like, Cosmic Beauty? What's Cosmic Beauty? Your first writing is titled Cosmic Beauty.
Yes.
And I know folks wonder, what is Cosmic Beauty? And that's one of your things that if folks know you or come to know you, that you do. You give them, I call it a spiritual name, and I'm honored the name that you gave me, and I won't, you know, mention it. It's something that, you know, I'm proud of it, and I don't know where they come from. But I'll always be your warrior, because that's what you came up. You said it came to you in a vision, so I embrace it. Would you share with us that opening piece, Cosmic Beauty? And then afterwards, maybe you'll share with us how you came up with that, and that'll be a nice note that we can close on.
Okay, here we go here. She is as cute as a monkey. She was the pick of the litter. She had a cry like a smoke detector. She had the beckon of all within range. She has a wing that is broken. She had it her way. had to have it her way. She took on more than she could handle. She enlisted the strongest of them to win her battle. She keeps a lot of admirers. She stays at the top of the list. She was renamed Cosmic Beauty. She went in search of the number one Superman. She went at it like Venus de Milo. She thought she had found him. That was her big mistake, her downfall. She went on the warpath when Superman disappointed, passed me by. That was her big mistake, her downfall. I can understand her, and I love her. Maybe I'll dress in loud colors so she can see me better. She loves loud colors. However, that is just the beginning of Cosmic Beauty's incredible life.
Now, folks, I believe, and again, I'm not trying to patronize, you know, my dear Cosmic Beauty cousin, but if you heard that and you have any depth to you at all in your heart and your spirit, you can relate. That was spoken in the third person, yet I think everyone can relate to that. It was as though you gave a story about yourself, but yet it was from another perspective. That's the depth of all of the work in this writing, in this book. And that's why I embrace that opening, that foreword. Because as it says, you know, once you pick it up, it's nearly impossible to put down. And once you put it down, you'll be changed. You'll be at a depth beyond where you were when you picked it up. And I'm proud to say that without trying to just patronize. It's just simply a fact. That was really beautiful. Is there anyone and it has to be pressing because we only have about 1 minute before we have to get to our other guest. But if there's anyone pressing to have a comment, would you be willing to take a comment from any listener? And it has to be listener if you're there. It has to be short and quick. But if there's anyone that would like to comment, friend, relative, or otherwise, if you just press 1 on your dial, then we'll know that you want to have a comment for Cosmic Beauty. Again, you'll just press 1 on your dial at this time, and you'll have that opportunity. All right, so first one gets somebody jumped right on this, Cosmic. There was a few, but the first one gets it. I promise that. So for the others that wanted to have a comment, I'll take 1 more maybe if you want to press 1 on your dial. But right now we're going to an 872. I don't know where that's at, but you are live on the air with Cosmic Beauty. Did you have a comment or a question or some other statement?
Daryl, this is Brad.
Hi,
her
Brad.
Friend in Chicago. What's up? How y'all doing?
Hey, what do you have to say about this?
We have a question, just that I'm a witness to Norma's talent in writing and music, and just as a friend and because her comments about Gary, the minister, were really on time, because we need more people that care about those that are in struggling, you know, at this time or any time in the world. So. And then I liked her comments about Earth, Wind, and Fire. Everybody in the world should know Earth, Wind, and Fire. Their musical talent, I mean, all their horn players and singers were very amazing. So that's my comment. Thank you, Norma, for sharing.
Oh, darling, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations on the book, Norma. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And we're asking you all to go out there and enjoy yourself with it.
I want to hear more. I sent you, Daryl, one of her songs, nice work if you can get it. If you can find it, you
well,
can play
what,
it.
Well, what we'll do for the next interview that we're going to do in about 3 weeks, it'll be a full interview. We're going to play some excerpts from some of her music. And folks, if you don't miss, we're gonna play some of the works from your music over the years. So thank you, Brad, for calling in. We have time, tune in, Brad, and to our other programming on Thursdays. We'll look forward to a new listener. Thank you. Okay. So anyone else?
Darling.
Got 10, 9, 8. Press 1 on your dial. Any comments or congratulatory statements before we have to close out and go to our next guest. Okay, here's one more. We're going to take one more. All right. You're live, 216. Oh, this is one of our regular listeners. You're live.
Hi.
Surprise.
Oh, no.
I just had to call in. I've said this to you, and I've followed you on this journey for a few years, and I am extremely proud of what you've done. It's an extraordinary book. I think that anybody that has an opportunity to get it, read it, is going to be blessed by it. It's a wonderful book. Your writing is... So this is your cuz, too. I love you.
God bless you and thank you.
All righty.
Well, thank you for calling in, Sister Iris out of Cleveland. That's well received, and I know there's some others, but we have to move. I'm about 5 minutes late with our next interview with Dr. Mendoza. I know folks have tuned in to also listen to him as well. So, as I said, as I mentioned, Cosmic, I'm putting you on the spot officially. We'll talk afterwards. Stay on for Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza. I know you've heard him before. He's going to talk a little bit about some astrology and some natural healing and some other things that he's wanted to share with us in terms of meditation for wellness. So hang on, Cosmic Beauty. And after the program, I'm going to reach out so we can get that program scheduled in December. That's going to be a blast, I'm sure, because we're going to do a full program with you. All right.
Thank you so much.
I thank you. Thank you, and congratulations on the book. Tell folks where they can get the book before we close out.
Well, you can get it at Amazon, and you can get it at Barnes & Noble. And it's on over 3,000 places within and outside of the United States. And like I told you, one was even sold in the United Kingdom, and I'm happy about that. It's some progressive, it's some Page Publishing Company. So it can be bought online and in bookstores, and especially the ones that I've mentioned. Easily bought on Amazon, yes, and Barnes & Noble. Thank you guys all so much. And make sure that you read the last page. Very, 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 very wonderful last page on that book. I love you all, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Cosmic Beauty, for that. And, we're encouraging everyone to listen in for when you return, and go out and get the book. I think you'll truly enjoy it. Hidden Treasures by Norma Clark. Hidden Treasures. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other places where fine, written works are sold.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to move on now. We have Master Glenn. Dr. Glenn Mendoza in studio. Thank you, Cosmic Beauty. Hang on and tune in with Master Glenn. So we're going to go right to our next phase here with Master Glenn. Master Glenn, as our listeners know, and we have a jam-packed listening audience this evening, as always is the case when Master Glenn joins us, is a master pranic healer, only one of a handful, at the most two handfuls in the entire world. And we'll just talk briefly about what that is, because that's not the focus of tonight. He's also a meditation expert, an astrology specialist, an author. As I said, he's a medical doctor and well-respected in the industry. Master Glenn has been on networks, media, news, 60 Minutes, for his acumen and well-respected worldwide. So this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about astrology. We're going to talk about full moon meditation, energy. And without further ado, Master Glenn, are you in studio? I see you. Yes. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Oh, Master Glenn, we're doing well. Thank you. Thank you. I can't thank you enough for being a part of Productive News Weekly and being a friend and a partner and a mentor for myself for all that you do worldwide. Your benevolent work just speaks volumes that words can't even express. And we're going to give folks an opportunity to get information about your work before we close out at the Pranic Healing Center. So with that said, here we are at another full moon. I mentioned that, you know, you are a pranic healer. So if you could take 30 seconds, because we still need to do that program on pranic healing and some of the, you know, deeper aspects of that. But at a higher level, can you share about pranic healing before we go into the meditation and astrology?
Okay, thanks, Daryl. Thanks for the invitation. You probably have heard of energy medicine. So pranic healing, you must have probably heard of Reiki. You must have heard of healing touch, or sometimes there's some people who are using craniosacral therapy. But by and large, these are fall into a category which they call now energy medicine. When they say energy medicine, we're looking at a person. Medicine itself, as we understand it, medical science itself, is rooted on the physical aspect of man. Of course, there was some time the psychological aspect has been developed. And the emotional aspect has been developed, and the preventive aspect has been developed. But one of the offshoots actually at one point was the energy aspect, or some people call it subtle energy. Why? Because you cannot see it. Some people can feel it. Some people can sense it, but you cannot actually really hold it like a solid thing. So at one point in time, like Reiki, which is around almost 120 years old already, started to do this, that they started to imagine in their mind that there are this subtle energy. Pranic healing, founded by a eminent grandmaster, Choa Koksui, actually introduced pranic healing, prana from the word in Sanskrit word prana means life force. Life force is the one that gives us life. You look at a person, they're alive, that's life force. So that's prana. And healing, of course, using prana as a healing modality, it's called pranic healing. So it's based on two principles. I'm sorry, I just want to hold your hands and really bring you up. And it's based on two principles, fundamental principles. Number one, the principle of the body has a natural tendency to heal itself. I think everybody knows that. We never go to a physician. We never go to an emergency room because of a simple toothache, We go to an emergency room when we cannot tolerate the pain anymore. So why? Because the body is healing itself. Nobody goes to a doctor emergency room just because of a cough. Maybe with the COVID, we can do it more often. but by and large, we know that the body will heal itself with sniffles and fever. And the second principle was that by increasing this prana, we know that by increasing the prana or energy in a specific organ or part of the body, the healing process is accelerated. So by and large, people in the workshop of pranic healing can feel this energy. We based it on a concept that everything is about energy and energy is about everything. Think about that word. Everything is energy and energy is everything. Or you could put it the other way around. Energy is everything and everything is energy. So if you look at it, you may see a physical person lively, but you realize that there's an energy part. Our cells are moving energetically. If a person is sick, the energy aspect is slower. If a person is, say, dead, the energy is zilch, is zero. So that's basically the basis of what pranic healing is. And the good news was that it's active throughout the whole world. Daryl mentioned that I'm one of 8 master pranic healers in the whole world. It's been taught in almost all countries. There are 190 countries. I think pranic healing is active. Active, when I say active, they're actually teaching the workshop to around 120 or even more countries now. It's accepted. It's eclectic. We accept all religions, accept culture, philosophies, culture. It's basically open for everything. Some people say it's prana. It looks Hindu. No, we have Christians who are practicing it, Jewish who are practicing it, Buddhist, Hindu, different kinds of religions have practiced it. In fact, I would like to add, Daryl Clark mentioned about the meditation. We are eclectic meditators. Different religions, any religions will do the meditation. So if you're part of that group, you will realize that the meditation is very, very eclectic. I don't see, on my point of view, I don't see a meditation that is really open for all, wherein each one will do the meditation. Of course, the mindfulness right now, which is becoming an offshoot of meditation, it actually has roots in some place based on Buddhism. So that's why, but they use the word mindfulness. This is just my opinion and nothing critical, but the meditation we use, which we call meditation on twin hearts, has been actually practiced by different religions, different philosophies. And we talk about full moon meditation. So by and large, we have been doing since 1994, full moon meditation, almost every month. I think I could not even think of one month wherein we missed it. If the 9/11 or the tsunami, the more if we have a major global problems or catastrophe, we do our meditation. And I just want to add that that's what we did when the coronavirus came on. So when the coronavirus, look back 21 months ago on March 13, when the government started to lock down, we didn't know what's going to do. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how much food we have. We don't know there's unpredictability. There's just uncertainty. We did a meditation. I said, let's do a meditation because everybody's stressed out now. So why don't we do a meditation? And we did a meditation. It was supposed to be 7 days, but it stretched out to 100 days. So we And up to now, every Wednesday, we're still meditating to do that since the coronavirus is still with us. So the full moon meditation comes at a time wherein there's a full moon every month. So it's a peak day of the month when you say a full moon meditation. So we use that as a platform to bless Mother Earth. It's a service. When you do full moon, we do service. As a group meditation, we do that. I just want to tell your audience, Daryl, that, and I think Daryl knows it, that we do it every month. And if you join us on Friday, the full moon on Friday will be a full moon on the month of Scorpio. And by and large, it will be 2:15 in the afternoon. That's the exact full moon, but we're going to meditate from 7 o'clock to around 8:30 or 9. I'd like to invite your audience to, as I've always said, we do it as a global practice. You will see almost over 700 people meditating at the same time with the goodwill. Goodwill means you want to do something good. Will to do good is actually doing it. So we want to do something good, we meditate, which makes it a will to do good. We'll bless Mother Earth. And at the same time, as we do that, there's a tremendous amount of energy that we could be able to sense, and we could use that energy to bless our families, our work, our homes, our loved ones, and those who are in need of energy. That is in a capsule we do during the meditation of full moon. But people who have been doing this regularly, since we started even the meditation during the coronavirus pandemic, we regularly meditate almost a couple of hundreds, 300s every Wednesday. 300 to 500 people are meditating. So I'd like to invite your group, the audience, to try it. You could go to fullmoonmeditation.us, fullmoonmeditation.us, and it will tell you how to log into that, and you could just join us at 7 o'clock New York time on Friday. I'm open for any questions.
So you said that we are experiencing, and I'd like to go a little bit into the astrological piece, which last month, I believe it was, we just dabbled upon. You mentioned a couple of things that went deeper than what you normally do when we talk about full moon meditation under a specific sun sign. For example, last month was a sun sign of Libra. Well, I won't say last month, but the last sun sign, because it usually spans a couple of months, either the end of one month, beginning of another, or vice versa, beginning of one month and the end of one month going into the beginning of another month. So this full moon is under the sun sign of Scorpio. And so with that, you've always shared that there are certain attributes that every astrological sign has. Now, contrary to some belief that it's just a naysayer or, even worse case scenario, some spoof of a practice, you broke down a little bit for us some of the science of the astrology, as well as tying the attributes to that. So before we go into that science piece, if you would share, for example, the attributes and what relevance that has to meditating under the full moon of that particular, or this particular, in this case, sun sign. So can you just share with us that and then kind of delve into what that relevance is to meditating on that sun sign related to those attributes?
Okay. Thanks, Daryl. I guess the more I looked into that, in fact, I'm going deeper into this astrology. Astrology has been ancient. It's been a long time. It even predates astronomy. So in the olden times, in fact, the more I look at it, I looked at the history of astrology, and I realized Babylonian, Assyrian, Chaldean, Egyptian, Chinese, ancients, even up to 16 or 2000 BC, they are already looking at the stars by the naked eye. By the naked eye. So if you understand in China or in India, which is basically one of our oldest culture, when a person is born, the first thing that they do is to go to astrologer. The astrologer is in the corner of their town. And once a baby is born, they go there. So before I was mentioning that, probably it's a pseudoscience, but the more I look at it, it is a science by itself, and people have done that. The question is, why do people believe in it? We believe in it. I'm telling you, some of you believe in it, and some said, oh, doesn't jive. You know, we want a perfect world, but actually, if you go deeper into astrology, it could give you some of the directions that we may have, that the learning platform of our life could be in astrology also. So going back to what Daryl was saying, was that for each sign, each one of you are born in one of the 12 months. For every month, there is a certain, what we call a sign. So you know you're Sagittarius because you're in Christmas, you're Cancer, you're born in June. There's overlapping in months. There's a certain dates also that were given. But by and large, what Daryl was saying, this month is actually Scorpio. So we're looking at the Scorpio. So for those of you who were born in Scorpio, you realize was that you were born between October 24 and November 22nd. Okay? Those of you who are Scorpio were born between October 24 and November 22nd. So each sign, as we understand it, has certain qualities. So obviously, when you were born during the Scorpio, you have the Scorpio qualities. So these qualities are actually within you. This is like your personality. So your personality is very strong in a Scorpio. And when you meditate during that time of the year, these qualities are actually magnified. And you can become a better one. But somehow, what are the qualities? What then are the qualities of a Scorpio? When we make fun, or some of us, when we say Scorpio, we think of sex. Actually, a part of it is passion. When they have passion, it's more or less, I think, the best definition of that. Why the qualities? Because it's so strong during that month that some of us don't have the passion in doing things, the bravado, even the qualities of loyalty. Loyalty is one of Scorpio's qualities. They're very honest, honest to a fault. If they say, I don't like your dress, they mean it. They won't hide it. They're ambitious. They're secretive. Scorpios are very secretive. That's why they could shift into data and actually unravel. Tell them about, I want to have I want to find a name of my classmate in high school, but I have not contacted him, her, 30, 40, 50 years. Give it to a Scorpio, they'll find out. So these are the positive qualities. Why do I want positive qualities? Because we just go focus on the positive qualities. When we have positive qualities, when we meditate, we will absorb the positive qualities. Again, describing it, Scorpios are determined. Scorpios are very imaginative, intelligent, independent mind. They're assertive, loyal. These are the qualities that we would want to absorb. Oh, Scorpios have sharp, intuitive powers also. They could sense a lot of things. And they're intense or passionate. And during the meditation during this month, it's in the air like a zeitgeist. It's in the air because it's the influence of all the celestial bodies or planets that is happening, and we're trying to absorb that.
Hmm. So we understand that under a certain sun sign, the qualities of that sun sign, as you say, like a zeitgeist, and look that one up, listeners. We don't miss a whole program in itself. It's in the air. So the non-Scorpio can pick up some of that energy of the Scorpio sign. Is that what I understand, what I'm hearing?
Yes. Who among us? I am not the Scorpio, but I would love to learn the qualities of loyalty. Want to learn the qualities of intensity, of passion. So once we have that, hey, why not absorb it while it's there? Do you understand? It's like when a person is happy and we're not happy, we look at that person and say, I want to have that happiness, that quality of that person. If we see a person who's very humble, I'd like to be that person. When you see a person who's intelligent, I'd like to be that person. It's just the nature of who we are, and the strength of others, if it will strengthen us, will absorb it. So that's why we look for the positive qualities. Any strength that other people have, like the Scorpio, courage, bravery, loyalty, I like that.
With the tie that together with the full moon, which is higher energy availability, and you have a heightened ability, because under those 30 days or so, under any sign, you have a greater access to the qualities of that sign. But as you approach the full moon under that sign, you're saying that you even have a greater propensity to absorb those qualities, because in addition to being under the sign, you're under the energy of the moon under that sign. Am I making any sense?
Yes,
Doctor.
Yes. Thank you. That's better.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So anyone can do that. I mean, it's not like you have to be trained formally. It's a matter of, as you often say, is a matter of intent of with knowledge to do that. And so with that, I want to just express and support what you were saying about the global meditation, and we've had these conversations it seems like 100 times over the many years, that there's strength in numbers, especially in meditation, because there's energy in meditation. And I think it's common for now about this whole aspect of energy. Similar to, as I've studied for a couple of decades, natural health, I mean, and you as a doctor. I mean, there were times when, you know, folks weren't talking about probiotics or, you know, enzymes or, you know, certain things naturally. I mean, even though they existed for years and there were many people utilizing it, now it's common for. So the same thing, I believe, with energy. It's not so much questioned. It's just a matter of how much you want to delve into the understanding and the benefit of. And so I encourage everyone to join that full moon meditation because there is an energy there. And I will share from experience, the more that you participate, the more you appreciate and be able to utilize that. And who can't or wouldn't want to utilize a benefit for themselves or even in some cases more so for their loved ones? That takes me to another point. You mentioned pranic. And I know I'm over the 8 o'clock time frame, so I'm just going to ask a quick question, and then I'll see if any of the listeners have a quick question. With pranic energy and pranic healing, typically when we think of healing, we think of physical. We think, oh boy, I broke a bone, or you know, I've got an issue with the lungs or with the heart or something of that nature. You know, one of the glands in the body, whether it's a thyroid or any other adrenal or any other kind of gland, but that's physical. Could you just talk a little bit about the emotional and mental capabilities of that prana? And does that apply, and is it as potentially beneficial? And I'm thinking in terms of folks with, you know, emotional situations, or someone who has, well, for example, I'm thinking of the mind. I'm thinking specifically of a loved one who had a stroke. And, you know, how do you measure, you know, that ability to recover when, you know, the mind is trying to make a connection to be able to speak again on a more normal basis? How can pranic healing help that? Because when I think of mind as something that is intangible, you know, thoughts is kind of intangible. The brain is physical, but the mind is a different thing. And I don't mean to go too deep on this, so if you could just hit that up on that at a higher level, how pranic healing can help with things of that nature. I mean, thinking in terms of even Alzheimer's, not to mention something like a stroke or the like.
Excellent. We'll make it simple. Prana, as I mentioned, is energy. A person is very intelligent, has a fast mind. The mind is always quick. And a person with Alzheimer's, you realize the mind is not, energy is not flowing. So by and large, you could scan, you could feel this energy. We know already, like, an Alzheimer's does not recognize it, depending on the degree. But by and large, the energy is not moving. Why? Because for whatever reason, for energy to move, that means it should be freely moving. And somehow there's some obstruction because of disease, because of condition like a stroke, that the energy is not moving. Like, it's like a blood. I'll make it even simpler. For every organ that we have, there's a blood that's going through it to supply it. Check. That means you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another vessel, which is vein, wherein it removes the fresh blood and brings it back to be oxygenated. Check?
Mm-hmm.
So the third one is a nerve. So every organ has a nerve to do that, to supply the nerve or the feelings or for whatever reason. Check? But
check.
There is a – you can do a fourth one if you want. There's lymph. The lymph is actually a certain substance in the body that is also part of that. So that could be the fourth. But the fifth one, which is actually invisible and not seen, is prana. Then the Chinese, when they developed acupuncture, they knew that energy was flowing, but they could not find out why. So years and thousands of years ago, they even dissected to see if there is a pathway for this prana. So the pathway of prana means this is the life energy that's sustaining it. So each organ has a certain energy that is supplying it. So a person, now that's, I talked about the brain, Alzheimer's, and an intelligent person. How about relationship? You realize in your family or your loved one, when energy is not flowing, when energy is flowing, there's a lot of love, there's happiness, there's joy, there's solidarity, there's happiness. But when relationships are blocked for whatever reason, arguments, money, everything like that, it's not moving. Does it make sense? So as it is on physical, it could be on an emotional, it could be on mental, all levels. So by and large, what pranic healing does is to heal this so that obstructing energy will be diminished and the energy or prana will flow. You clean the obstructing energy so energy will flow freely and health and well-being.
Wow. That was profound. So if we run into a cantankerous person, you think I could sweep them and clean? No, just kidding.
Yeah, but it's public, but the person will say, what are you doing to me? You know, it's like, how do you like to sweep your boss who's dressing you down? I said, hold on, let me sweep you because you're so angry. The mortal will be angry, I think. but in essence, that we may be joking, but it makes sense.
That was serious, listen, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Hey, listen, our relationship, I like you, you're my friend, you're my partner, you're my wife, you're my husband, but but it's not flowing. Our relationship is not flowing. What is wrong? Find the obstructing energy. Oh, because of anger. Oh, because of money. Oh, because of this, because of that, because of this. Then work it out. Our life was made, our lives, all of our lives, human lives, we have conflicts. And the conflicts has been given to us all the time so we could learn a lesson. No different on a physical level. Look, why am I sick? I said, hey, your body is telling you to slow down. You're on a fast speed. Why am I angry? To remind you that you have to develop love. Why am I so critical? Oh, to remind you that the lesson for you is to become humble. That's how we look at it. If we look at life as a lesson, we are in a platform, we're into lesson. We're not just here to live our life. Think about it. If we're just going to live our life and die, I question that. So Glenn Mendoza becomes a doctor, a good doctor, then becomes has a lot of money, then did this, then die. I said, that's so simple. There must be more to it than this. So we just get to become, our purpose is to become better and better. I think, going back to what Daryl was saying, there was a book that I wrote a couple of years ago, To Become a Better Person. Each one of us would like to be a better. I'd like to be a better husband. I'd like to be a better wife. I'd like to be a better lawyer. I'd like to be a better nurse. I'd like to be a better child. Nobody in the world says, I want to be the most badass person in the world. I don't think they say it with their mouth, but in their hearts, they want to become better.
You know, with that said, I want to mention that book, because that's what came to mind as you were talking before you brought that fact up of the book, and you said the purpose is to become better, and I've read some, and most, I think, if not all, the folks on the line, because I'm just so pleased and proud to say that most of the listeners, if not all, are enlightened at listening on Productive News. And it wasn't just because of Productive News, though we may have enhanced that somewhat. And I say all of that to say that we, I believe, understand to some extent, but perhaps the focus isn't there as it should be, that the things that we encounter that are challenges, we really should embrace. And I think it's the human nature that opposes that. Because, you know, when you run into a challenge, regardless of whether it's in your relationship, personally or at work or in the neighborhood, you don't want to embrace that. I think it's human nature. But I think we understand if we looked at it, and so often I don't think we want to look at it, but if we looked at it, that saying, look the lion in the mouth, we'll find out that we probably should, and I believe from even what you're saying, not probably, we should embrace that. But that just seems to go against our nature, you know, to embrace something that seems uncomfortable. You know, embrace the fact that you and that other person just don't get along and you seem to have opposing personalities. Maybe embrace that, right? And say, okay, what can I do on my end? I can't change the other person. I just chasing my blue skies again. Anyway, Master Glenn, always, always a pleasure. Let me just give a plug for this book, and it's not just a plug for the sake of it, but, you know, I've read the book, and I don't know how many times I've gone through it, Better Person Mindset, and then the subtitle is Be the Best You Can Be, 9 Things to Think and Act, and it really has helped me, and I don't look at it as a book. I look at it as a reference, as I pull it off the shelf from time to time, and I'll go to, you know, one of the chapters, and you know, and depending on what I'm looking for, what I'm experiencing, and what I'm dealing with, you know, I'm coping with, I go and seek, you know, some means of embracing those challenges, whether it's that chapter on karma or the chapter on the power of happiness or the virtue of gratitude, or you talk about cycles, you know, am I going through a cycle? So it's really a great reference read. There's a whole meditation chapter and one on knowing oneself. I mean, that ties right into what you just said about the purpose is to become a better person. And to become a better person, I think you would have to know yourself. And what is your possible purpose and potential? So, folks, the book is Better Person Mindset. Write that down, by Dr. Glenn Mendoza. And the follow-up read, the book Spiritual Truths, is just an excellent follow-up to that. So check those out, folks. I think you'll be pleasantly pleased when you do. So we have full moon meditation tomorrow. Under the sun sign of Scorpio, utilizing all the benefits, and we can bless our families, ourselves, our projects, our households, our neighborhoods, our cities, towns, our country, the world at large, and the Lord, we all know we need that as much or more than ever before now. So, Pastor Glenn, I want to thank you again for spending the time with us this evening and enlightening us. I know my listeners are like, why don't we ever get to ask Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, a question? If there is a pressing, I'll give 30 seconds. And then what happens, Master Glenn, is I'll get a call afterwards. I wanted to say something. I was just too embarrassed. But 30 seconds if you press 1 on your dial. Pressing question for Master Glenn, do so now. That will be pressing 1 on your dial, and then we've got to run in all respect to Master Glenn's time. All right, so none here at this point. Someone's probably pressing one, and I'm not seeing it. But no, I don't see anything there. I see a 216. I see a 561. There was a question from before. There was no questions there under that. 216-561, no question for Master Glenn? No. Okay. And then there was a 872-240. No questions for Master Glenn? You're on the air? No. Okay. All right. So, Master Glenn, thank you so much again. Tune in, folks. That website that you'll want to go to participate in the guided meditation, remember, this is a guided meditation by Master Glenn himself worldwide, and I think he was being a little modest when he said, you know, there may be 800 or so. I think we probably much more than that are tuning in worldwide, and you can just feel the energy, folks. I cannot encourage you enough to go in and tune in with that. That's full moon meditation. Don't even have to write that down. It's simple enough. fullmoonmeditation.us. You go to that website and all the instructions you'll need to tune in. That's tomorrow. And is it 7 o'clock or 7:30? It's 7 o'clock tomorrow, isn't it?
7 o'clock.
Yeah. 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. fullmoonmeditation.us. www.fullmoonmeditation.us. And the website for your Pranic Healing Center, because I know after this we have lots of new listeners every week. They'll want to learn more about how they can get involved. What's the website for the Pranic Healing Center?
PranicHealingUSA.com. It's just new. You'll like it. It's PranicHealingUSA.com.
Pranic, and that's PranicNIC.
PranicHealingUSA.com.
PranicHealingUSA.com. And if you forget that, folks, you know you can always reach out to me, and I'll certainly direct you there. Master Glenn, God bless you. To all the listeners, thank you for tuning in. To those who participated, thank you. My prayer is that, yes, I was going to say, my prayer is that you all have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving. Master Glenn, is something going on in terms of gratitude? I believe you're doing a gratitude.
Yes. There are lots of activities we have. I mentioned about when we started doing chronic healing globally with the pending pandemic. And one of the things we've done is to help people who are sick, dying, using pranic healing. You know, there was a complete lockdown. I invite you to our a night of gratitude. I'll give the information to Daryl. So for those of you who have interested on gratitude to life, it's a gratitude on different levels. Gratitude to life, gratitude for those who have healed during the coronavirus, and you'll be expecting a couple of hundreds of people doing that in your own virtual Zoom. So I'll give the information to Daryl.
Yes, so reach out to me. That's Productive News at Outlook.com, and I'll be sure and I'll get that information out to you to participate. And when is that? Is that on Monday or?
Monday, 8 to 10. There's a program that we have. I invite your group to enjoy that.
8 to 10 p.m., a night of gratitude to life. And what a perfect time with this being the week of Thanksgiving and us having gone through so much over these last, actually, 2 years. Just about, and I'll certainly look forward to participating in that, Master Glenn. So again, thank you. Thank you, listeners. We certainly appreciate you. Have a blessed and safe and happy New Year. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm pushing it. We're almost there. I just wish you all wish you all well. Nothing but love for you. So with that said, we wrap up another program, and we'll just close out with something pleasant. Thank you, Master Glenn. Appreciate you so much.
Bye-bye. Godspeed.
So much. Bye-bye. Godspeed. So, folks, we wrap up another evening of Productive News Weekly. If you have a thought or a suggestion for a guest or a topic, please send me an email. It's productivenews@msn.com. That's productivenews@msn.com. And I'm going to close out with, this is Thanksgiving, one of my favorite spiritual artists, Walter Hawkins. And one of my favorite songs by him is just simply Thank You. And I'm going to close out with him. That's going to be our closing bumper tune. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Peace and blessings to you. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know how we can enhance Productive News Weekly. I'd like that. I think that'd be nice. So, again, we'll be coming back live in the weeks ahead. Next week will probably or possibly be a replay. But whenever I do a replay, it's usually a very, very special one. The archives, again, are blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And you can see and hear this program as of tomorrow and all our programs over the last several years, including, like I said, some of the conversations about the history of the U.S. and the challenging times, spirituality. Mr. Dick Gregory, all of his interviews are up there. And one of my most dear mentors that I came to know over many years. We became very close friends, and his interviews are there, along with so many others. So go to the archives, folks, and I'm going to close out with Walter Hawkins singing simply Thank You.
They're living out in the streets, and the drug habits. I'm not just talking about folks out in the street, but right in the church, drug habits of some folks hiding just can't be. There are murders and robbers. No place seems to be safe, Lord, but you've been my protection. Oh, you've been my protection every step of the way. Yes, you have, Lord. Yes, you have, Lord. Yes, you have, Lord. And I want to say,